Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. It's a Friday and the date is the 12th. So about 90% of the people, especially civil servants, and those of us that are month enders are still broke. So just hang in there. So we're just 5 minutes into the hour of four, and you know at this time of the day that's from 4 to 6 is the usual. That's your favorite duo here on Eagle FM. That's Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, keeping you company until the hour of six with one topic or one subject after another. A point of correction, one interesting subject after another. Now, on today's Home Run, we have a little bit of a little bit of an interruption in Home Run Show, but it's a positive interruption, interruption, not a negative one. And that's a Hengano concert volume 2 by Ali Tobias, who will be here in a few minutes to provide you more information on what will be happening and where. And the Hengano concert volume 2. More information on that will be part of our positive interruption on today's Home Run. Now, before that interview comes along, just to walk you through today's discussion here on Home Run, we decided to push today's discussion on today's Home Run discussion on a continental level. We're talking about the African program or African Union. Not program, because it's something that they do once a month. Now, you have a lot of chaos going on in the world of politics and economics, basically. And thanks in part to, let me just say, mostly because of what is going on in the Middle East. But based on that, and it's not the only contributing factor, that's the Israel-Iran and the U.S., missile exchange that's taking place in the Middle East. But it's one of the contributing factors that is making life very difficult, especially in the world of economics. A lot of countries now have to revise their economic projections because of that conflict. But here's the thing. Those are just problems that needs navigating, and the African Union is now looking at navigating those problems. And just in the middle of them talking about how to navigate some of those problems, and part of that discussion started on the 3rd of June, that's last week, Wednesday, and it's going to run until the 17th. And that is the 52nd ordinary session of the Permanent Representatives Committee, PRC. Now, the Permanent Representatives Committee is a branch of the African Union. And is basically the administrative branch of the African Union. They do the day-to-day activities. They see the day-to-day activities, basically the planning and execution and all those things, reporting to the high-ups, up in the chain of command. But the day-to-day administrative activities of the African Union falls in under the mandate of the PRC, that is the Permanent Representative Committee. And it's basically made up of different countries' representatives. You have Namibian representative, you have the Ugandan representative. They call them ambassadors. In the very same way that you have, Namibian ambassador to the UN. Yeah, and in the very same way that you have the UN, you have things going on at the UN where every country has an ambassador to the UN. Namibian ambassador to the UN, Botswana ambassador to the UN. We have the same thing with regards to the African Union. You have His Excellency, and it's interesting enough because the title is very, you know, is very, the title of His Excellency is very big at the African Union. I mean, even the, you know, even the African Union, the African Union chair. Yeah, the African Union, the African Union Commission chairperson, that's Mohamed Ali Yusuf, also goes by the same title. And every ambassador is, you know, as far as I was able to actually discover, because I didn't really pay attention to the titles that a lot of, you know, of the different countries' representatives are referred to at any of these international organizations, which of course includes the African Union. But it turns out His Excellency is a very big one. Now, the 52nd ordinary session of the Permanent as a Representative Committee, that's PRC, which, like I pointed out earlier, is an administrative arm of the African Union. Their 52nd session, that session, a session kicked off on the 3rd of June, last week Wednesday, and it's going to run until next week Wednesday. Now, a lot of things were basically pointed out into which I'm just going to summarize, and then we dive into a detail, you know, well, you know, after the Hangano concert that I just pointed out to. Now, one of the things that was pointed out is things are becoming more and more difficult. Now, these are the things that were pointed out, not at the Hangano concert volume 2. Now, that is the event is yet to take place. This is at the 52nd PRC ordinary session. One thing that was pointed out just from the beginning in the opening speeches of different, you know, member states representative, including the chairperson of the African Union Commission himself, that's Mohamed Ali Yusuf. Is I believe this gentleman is from, Gambia? No, Djibouti. Yeah, he's from Djibouti. And it turns out that the name of that country, it's also one of those countries at the Horn of Africa. Yeah, now, I have to disappear and leave you in the hands of Dwight and Ali Tobias to give you more information of on the Ehangano concert, volume 2. And we'll proceed with this discussion on the other side of the break, of the interview.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewetike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nenge lo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu mbali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcoming you, dear listeners, to a interview that obviously in the middle of the regular Home Run programming, you heard obviously just about Helmut as he quickly took a short break, but the break was obviously because we've got a lovely conversation here in studio with a musical talent. I call her a musical talent because I like opera personally. I don't know about much of you guys, but I'm a classical fan. However, this is also regarding an up-and-coming event specifically for later in this year, which is in July. But I'd first like to welcome my particular in-studio guest, that being Madam Ali Tobias. Ali, if you can just say a hi and a hello. And specifically, before we get into why we're here, just, you know, that I don't want you to advertise how good your voice is, but, you know, just say a hello at least.
Hello.
Well, not like that, Ali, but yeah, that one
wasn't that good enough. Hi, Dwayne. Hi, everybody.
And obviously, we are talking about the Ehangano Concert Volume 2 that is slated in next month. But obviously, you know, in many cases, this is not a, how should I say, a regular opportunity for myself to talk to a classical artist like you, Ali. So specifically, when we start off with a particular conversation, welcome back to Eagle FM. Obviously, the last time I didn't interview you, but welcome back. And to the listeners, obviously, who may not know of you yet, how would you describe yourself as an artist in a few words? Can you do that in a few words? Let's see this. I want to see this.
I guess my name is Ali Tobias and I'm a gospel singer.
100%. And that's actually the first time anyone has actually beaten a few words in that scenario. But Ali, getting on to the concert for our conversation as well. So we've got the Ehangano Concert Volume 2 that is coming up on the 4th of July in next month. This will obviously be at the National Theatre of Namibia. And specifically, how excited are you and what can fans expect different
from Volume 1, in specifically in Volume 2. Are there new songs? Yes or no? But we'll actually get there, because I see there's other questions. I don't want to preempt them. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just that teaser, what are we looking at?
Yes, I'm so excited. I'm nervous, anxious, excited at the same time, but more excited. I just can't wait to put on like a really good show. Mm. I can't wait for people to just see how we've grown from Volume 1, obviously. Yeah, man, I've been busy with this project for a while, so I'm just really grateful that I get to put it out there, that people get to enjoy it with me, I guess. So I really hope people get to enjoy it. Yeah, so I'm really excited. Yeah, just looking forward to, like, people should look forward to, like, new music and, like, good performances and stuff like that, yeah.
Obviously, Volume 1 had its particular unique picture. Volume 2 should have that same particular unique feature to it. So, guys, don't jump the gun. But this then gets us into the second particular, or the next particular question. The Ehangano hymn book is also deeply rooted specifically in the Elsen religious community, as well as also in the Oshawambo speaking communities. How do you go about reimagining these sacred hymns for a modern audience without losing their spiritual essence?
I think the word that I like to use a lot is nostalgia. Most of us that grew up in the church, I mean, these are songs that we grew up listening to, right? But I always say, back then, when somebody sort of like passes away and they have to sing the songs, it's almost like we're mourning death, right?
Mm.
But in this generation that we're in, we are more about celebrating life. So I just want to bring a more like happier feel to it, a more nostalgic feel, more relatable feel to the hymns. So I really, really love my roots, and I really love my church, which is Elsen.
Mm.
Obviously don't necessarily congregate there as much anymore, because I mean it's obviously back home. But yeah, that's just what I want to do with this music. It's sort of just like to bring, just imagine,
just a familiarity.
Yes,
is it more like a bond between what people grew up with and then just keeping it going in this modern
exactly day. So just imagine yourself growing up and you're always smelling your mom's like pancakes or whatever, and now you're grown and obviously mom can't make those anymore.
yeah,
I hope you guys are not getting hungry, but like, so just basically that nostalgic feel, that aroma, you know.
Yeah,
so that's what I want to bring.
And this then leads into the next particular question I've got here, in terms of so you've described yourself also as described Ehangano as more than just a music showcase, and that it's also a movement. What does that mean to you personally, besides the nostalgia and the familiarity component? How do you see it specific as this movement?
I love God. I love everything about, you know, the Bible and Jesus and just what Christianity is about.
Mm-hmm.
So I really just want to create an atmosphere where people get to worship my God. I say my God because I'm realizing in this day and time, everybody has their own different gods.
You know? Like, with their own interpretations.
Everybody has their own definition of who God is or whatever. So I just want to create an evening where, or a movement rather, that's really about just worshiping God, just being in that presence, being comforted by, you know, the word, what he says, you know. And I mean, obviously this hymns or this hymn books is obviously inspired by scripture. So yeah, I just want to bring that to people. Comfort, love, peace. I just want to spread goodness.
And I mean, in this particular world, obviously, where people are exposed to much information, you know, a little bit of just, you know, calming down is always needed.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think we've always had this much access to information. So now we know what's happening in other countries, and the world is not necessarily a nice place. So it's just, I'll just like to, you know,
Be the calming voice in between.
Exactly. You get it. You get me.
Now we're getting into your actual craft, the music and the album. When we obviously look at the latest album of Imbilo, I hope I'm saying it correctly.
Imbilo.
Imbilo has been resonating strongly also with Namibians, but what was the inspiration behind it? And will we hear some of the tracks at this concert? Once again, I don't want to jump the gun because people obviously have to be there. But let's have a listen.
Yes. So actually the concert sort of like serves as an album launch. This is my first album. And What inspired the music? I mean, again, I just want to be a light in the darkness. I just want to spread some love. I just want to spread happiness. Again, I like to use the word nostalgia, like just comforting. I think, again, as you grow up, there's like a lot of trauma. We experience a lot of things. So I just want to go back to when we were babies and we're just like children and we didn't care about the heaviness of life. And we didn't
Us to get in a time machine again?
Yes, yeah. I just want to take people back, man. Yeah. And again, just sort of like bring comfort, light, spread goodness, love, peace, joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what that's really what inspired Aim Below again, and to just worship God, to say, yes, regardless of what we've been through, regardless of what we're going through, I mean, his promises are just like amazing. So it's just a reminder to say God really promises that there is a good life, a better life, you know.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. The fans obviously can also access your music through the Imba Hymn Book app, which Omalite Media tells us more about that specifically, or by Omalite Media. But could you also tell us a little bit more about the hymn, some of the music that you obviously have also on the app itself? And I know it's a little bit of an interesting discussion we had before we stepped in, but but obviously it helps us also for some of the listeners also to know, you know, how accessible some of your music also is.
Yeah, so I haven't put the music on any music platforms yet. My other songs are there. I've had an EP before, so my music
extended
is
play,
like, my music is on Apple Music, whatever you call it. But this specific album is only on the Omalite, on the Imba app, rather. And it's going to be like that for a very long time. I do plan on putting it, you know, on other music platforms, but I'm so grateful that Omalite could actually do this for me. Again, the aim is to put the music out there to get the people, you know, listening to it. But I also didn't want to put it out there without hosting the concert first.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, you know, you can access it on the app just to introduce yourself to it.
Yeah.
So that when you're at the concert, you're actually sort of like vibing along, but it should still have that freshness, that newness.
And just so that you know, dear listeners, obviously the concert is coming up in July. So it's not going to be far, but go to the concert as well.
It's like 23 days to go.
Give or take change. Don't worry. But just before we get to the 4:30 mark, Ali, we obviously have to also get into another particular unique dimension that you also are part of. This is specifically, you know, the aspect of your philanthropic side. So the concert has a beautiful philanthropic side to it, which with some of the proceeds that would go to the Orlindi orphanage. Why is giving back such a core part of the Ihango brand for you?
I guess that's what I'm about. I mean, again, with a concert, with my music, I just want to give back. And before I actually started doing music, I was actually a model. So part of my modeling journey was also giving back. So when I came to Windhoek, which was like about, is it 10 years ago? Again, I came here as a student. Obviously, some of us from the north, when we come here, we just come and then we settle, right? But I was exposed to, I was fortunate.
You're explaining all Namibians like that.
Yeah, I mean, we just come and we never leave.
Yeah.
But the one place that really became home to me was the Orlindi orphanage. I just fell in love with it. And I'm not entirely sure why, but I guess it's the babies, and it was the lady that was obviously leading to it, and she passed away a few years ago. God bless her soul. But so that's the one place where my heart is at, but that's not where my heart stops. So I just want to generally give back. So the more I get, the more I'm able to sort of like spread the love to any other orphanage or any other old age home or whatever cause that I can support.
Yeah.
But the orphanage really, or Orlindi orphanage for me specifically, you know, it's very close to my heart. And I just want to give back. I mean, these are little babies that, you know, some were abandoned, some don't have their parents. So it's just, you can just imagine the kind of childhood they have. So the littlest thing we could do is really just give, you know, warm clothes, food, you know, make sure that they have like even a TV or like, you know, just things that can make their childhood a bit more, you know, sparklier. So, yeah, I'm all about giving back, I guess.
Just hold for that there for me, Ali. We quickly come back after the short break, dear listeners. Get so much.
much more.
You get so much more with the ShopRite price because we buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you. Save on 2 kg Real Good Chicken, frozen mixed portions, only $99.99. And 2 kg Marathon Light Brown Sugar for a low $37.99. Deals valid until 21 June 2026. Get so much more with the ShopRite price.
And we come back, dear listeners, from the quick break right there. Still in studio with Ali Tobias, who is a opera singer, one of the particular kinds of arts disciplines that I appreciate myself. And if we, where we left off primarily, we were still on the philanthropic side of the discussion, specifically with Ali. And for you listeners, obviously, just to reiterate once again, we have the Ehangano concert that's happening next month, the 4th of July. Tickets obviously will be available. We will get to that particular part of the conversation. Ali, where we left off, we had the second particular part of the giving back to the community that we left off on. You mentioned back in 2024 you made a significant contribution. This particular year you want to do even more, but what does that mean specifically when audiences show up and ultimately buy the ticket? What will they be also participating in through the giving back scenario?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I just encourage people to buy the ticket and please show up.
Mm.
Apart from, like, you getting a good show, you will be serving a greater cause, which will be, obviously, sort of like donating to this Orlindi orphanage. Again, if the proceeds exceed more than my expectation, we are likely to face into or look into other spaces that maybe I don't have focus on or haven't really like, you know. This would obviously include more orphanages, old age homes, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever the course may be. But yes, so you buying a ticket means you are giving back to the community. And we're starting with the Orlindi Orphanage just to offer them warm clothes, food, and anything else that they could need. This will be school uniforms as well. And yeah.
Yeah. And then we obviously get into the actual performance that is planned coming up for next month. You have special guests like Tate Buti, Paige, and Dia joining you on stage. What can you tell us about what they'll bring to this particular night?
Okay, so I think a lot of people are like, wait, Tate Buti at a gospel event? Like, what is that? What does that look like?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep my surprise also on side.
But I actually have featured all the three people on my songs for this album. So it's really, really exciting. Again, for me, it's just to sort of like spread the gospel, even in areas where people don't expect it. So I know people always expect sort of like the churchy type, which is like the religious aspect.
Very formal,
yes,
rigid, you can't deviate.
I'm not about that.
Yeah.
I'm more of a spiritual person or spiritual aspect where I'm just trying to get, if I can get a Tate Buti fan to worship God or to believe in God, that's what I'm going to do, you know. So, yeah.
I mean, so far the concert is going to be, by the way, it sounds to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be lit.
Yes, so I just
for using Gen Z terms, could you believe?
It's gonna be lit. Yeah, no. Allow us to cook. That's what the kids are saying these days. So allow me to cook, guys,
yeah,
for this concert.
And let's get to the lit part as well.
Yeah.
Now, also going into just the second part of this particular aspect of what we would look forward to for the performance and the special guests. Can you also describe to us, Ali, the atmosphere that you want people to walk away with after the Ehangano Volume 2. I sometimes slide over these names very quickly.
No problem. We hear you.
And what feeling should the fans carry back home after experiencing that first lineup? You know, that lineup changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just want people to walk away feeling edified,
hungry
for more, so that they come back again next year. But more sort of just edified, fulfilled, you know. I mean, for some of us who don't go clubbing and stuff, or for some of us who don't really go out as much, I just want to create an event or a night that people can just dress up. By the way, it's a black tie event, right? I just feel like the culture here in Namibia is people always go to, they look forward to weddings so that they can dress to kill. So I just want to give people a platform.
There's either Sunday or weddings.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just also want to give people the platform to, you can dress to kill on this event. It's a red carpet event. But yeah, I just want people to walk away feeling very edified, feeling very, loved, feeling very just, I don't know, man. Just
fulfilled?
Comfortable, fulfilled. Yeah.
Besides the nostalgia and the familiarity that you will be bringing along for them to feel.
Yeah.
We get into the tickets and basically our closing remarks. Where can people get the hands on the tickets, and specifically, the $450 specifically, where they will be able to find the pricing for the ticket itself?
So, no, the tickets are $450. You'll get the tickets from WebTicket. So, you can search their website, or you can find them in all Model stores. I keep calling it Pick and Pay, which is so disrespectful, guys. It's not Pick and Pay anymore. It's Model shops now.
It's actually Model.
Model. Oh, you see? It's not Model.
You used the word Model even earlier, you know. You were a model. Uh-huh. It's Model.
This is Model.
Yeah.
So you get your tickets at Model. So yes, you guys can get the tickets at WebTickets, basically, yeah.
From when are the tickets available? Just for that particular clarity.
They are available as we speak.
100%. So there you go, dear listeners. Final remarks from your side, Ali. Is there a final message that you want to share to all your Namibian fans who are listening right now? And what do you want them to know about the concert when we get there?
I really want people to come. I really want you guys to show up. I just want to, you know, give people a night or an evening where they can worship, but also leave very edified, like I said. So as much as I'm nervous and this is like a lot of pressure on my side, I just really want to put on a good show. I really want people to get their every penny worth. So I'm excited. I hope people are excited. I hope everybody shows up if they could. I mean, it's at NTN, and the tickets are about like only 400, because there's only 400 seats. So please, no last minute people, guys, just buy your tickets, because when they're sold out, they're sold out. It's not like you guys can stand in the aisle.
Yeah.
I'm excited, and I hope everybody gets excited to show up.
And just before we end off, dear listeners, just so that you know, 4th of July, it's a Saturday. It's 400 seats. Remember, the price didn't change from Ali in between the last two scenes. 400 seats, meaning there's a spot only, the venue's only that big. So get your ticket while this particular stock's last. Ali, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us and the listeners, specifically for, because I like opera. So I want to see it next month. I want to see it. And specifically, you know, all the best specifically getting to the Saturday. Yeah, 4th. I almost said next Saturday, but it's actually the 4th of July. So yeah, it's into next month.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
100%. On that note, dear listeners, we'll be back right after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, hura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back. So, I hope you got all the information about where the concert is going to take place and what awaits you there in terms of a good time. So from now on, moving forward, at least for from now moving forward in relations to today's home run, we continue with with what we have on the menu for you. And if you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and we're here until the hour of 6, and now it's 18 minutes to the hour of 5, so we still have enough time to basically dive into some of the things that were looked at, because the event is still ongoing. And in case you missed it, the event we are talking about here is the 52nd ordinary session of the PRC. That's our permanent representative committee, which is an administrative branch of the African Union, and just like any organization, basically. And just like any organization, it has its own challenges. And the African Union is facing multiple challenges, both at home and abroad. And one of the challenges that was pointed out, in his speech by the African Union Commission, that's Ali Yusuf, Mohamed Ali Yusuf, he did point to several things, the Strait of Hormuz, and it's all one of those things that he just explicitly mentioned as one of those things that is basically causing a lot of economic pain for a lot of regions in the world, and Africa is no exception. One of the things that I found, I find fascinating is that, in the middle of all this, one gentleman that was calling for unity, that was calling for unity among his member states in the African Union, was one gentleman from Burundi, Burundi's representative to the African Union, or the Burundi's ambassador to the African Union, who basically makes up the PRC, permanent representatives. The African Union Commission, their speeches, on the beginning of the event that was last week. Now, why this gentleman in particular? Well, because he's the one that's, Ambassador Willy Nyamitwe, He's the one that is chairing. He's the one that's chairing the PRC. They said difference here is Muhammad Ali Yusuf is the current is the current African Union Commission. African Union Commission chairperson. But the PRC, the PRC body, the one that is the administrative arm of the African Union and is deliberating on a lot of African Union day-to-day related matters today, and it's been running from last week Wednesday. It's going until next week Wednesday. It's that's like a subdivision. So in other words, look at it this way. Muhammad Ali Yusuf is the chairperson of the African Union Commission. He's the boss. And under the African Union is where you find the permanent representative, the administrative arm. That is now that division is the one that is being chaired by one Willy Nyamitwe, who is the PRC chairperson and the ambassador of the Republic of Burundi to Ethiopia. The ambassador of Burundi to Ethiopia, and is also while chairing the. And why Ethiopia? If you're asking why Ethiopia, now I'm going, okay, fine. Let's break it down. Ethiopia, that's where the seat of the African Union is. Now that we have that out of the way, let's look at some of the things that, now, these two gentlemen gave very interesting, opening speeches, and two things that they emphasized that you can pick up from it, that I was able to pick up was Africa needs to come together in terms of uniting, and those was very expressed in somewhat very vague terms from my interpretation of what they were saying, and I say that because Africa must unite is a very broad concept. But one thing that the reason why I picked up that part of the similarities in between their speeches is because that union, that coming together, is being threatened by, Ethiopia itself. Ethiopia's political sphere is a very turbulent one right now. Actually, it has been for a while now, and things sort of like hit a tipping point in 2020 when we were in lockdown. If you were listening to what was going on in Africa beyond the COVID-19 pandemic, reports and all those things that was going on. I mean, COVID-19 lockdown, that was a busy time. But at the very same time, there was a civil war known as the Tigray War that was happening between 2020 and 2022. So when you and I were dealing with COVID-19 lockdowns and all that in Ethiopia, especially the region of Tigray, they were dealing with double the trouble. In other words, they were dealing with both the COVID-19 that you and I were that scared the Moses out of you and I here, and also at the same time they had a civil war going on. That civil war is somewhat being, and this is from an editorial piece coming, this is from an editorial piece that's that appeared on the Al Jazeera website, but it was authored by two gentlemen. The two gentlemen, one being the Ethiopia's intelligence chief, that is Redwan Hussein, and the African Affairs Minister, Getachew Reda. Just butchering names here. Now, the two, just yesterday, warned of a possible preparation by the Tigray People's Liberation Front, which is it's an interesting organization, and so on its own when it comes to the history of Ethiopia liberation struggle and all of it, but we don't have time for that. I just found it fascinating. But anyway, there have been accusations going back to last year, was that last year October. Where the Ethiopian government, the Ethiopian government have basically have been exchanging accusations with the TPLF, that is the Tigray, that's the Tigrayan That's the Tigray People's Liberation Front. The Tigray Liberation, People's Liberation Front has a lot of, alleged ties to Eritrea. I'm saying alleged ties because there've been a lot of, every time that the Ethiopian government points out about, this organization's ties to the, this organization's ties to Eritrea and its government, both the Eritrean government and the representatives of, of this organization, the TPLF, they all keep denying all this. This is pretty much the same thing that we have seen with the popular M23. It's like this organization that's just doesn't have any type of legitimate government backing, whether it's foreign or domestic. Well, in this case, then the TPLF has been at odds with the with the federal government of Ethiopia, and right now. And now, these accusations, the two, the TPLF and the federal government of Ethiopia have been exchanging accusations for a while. Now, but the most recent one being, from, last year in October, but, this year, the Ethiopian police, wrote on their Facebook page. Now, this is basically something that went, that was written on about a lot of mainstream media platforms, including Reuters and BBC, I believe, because the article I was reading this on was from Africa News, which took me straight to BBC and Reuters. And they the Ethiopian police now, according to this story that came out in January, pointed out to the Ethiopian police discovering more than 56,000 rounds of ammunition in the Amhara, in the Amhara region, and this is one of the very, this is one of the regions that actually had about 30 plus constituencies that did not participate in the recent general elections that took place in Ethiopia because the regions were deemed, not safe, basically. Because of the, because of what seems to be brewing, if the Ethiopia's head of intelligence and minister and African Affairs minister, if they are right on their suspicions of of that military conflict or more like tension brewing, then chances are very high they could be another hot relationships, basically exchange, basically armed conflict, which I'm not looking forward to because we already have a lot of things to deal with. Now, why am I pointing all these things out? It's because, at this, 52nd, PRC general, ordinary session, unity is one thing that was, that's being called out over and over, more like that's being referenced over and over again. We have a lot of problems to deal with already. You have to understand that, this is the administrative arm of the African Union, and, they are in session and has been for the 52nd, ordinary session, from last week Wednesday, and it's running until next week Wednesday. And what they have been called, the language coming out of the speeches that's been uttered so far is, we have a lot of problems to deal with as a continent, or more like as a regional bloc, or as an intergovernmental organization, aka African Union. We have a lot of things to deal with. We cannot afford to pile out more. The African Union Commission Chair pointed mostly to external issues that we don't have control over, and the Strait of Hormuz is one of those external issues, external to the African, to Africa and the African Union, that is causing a lot of economic and political pain on the continent. That the intergovernmental organization is trying to navigate those challenges. So that means we can't afford to have more challenges piled on top of these challenges we don't have control over. In other words, let's keep our house in order because we already have our hands full. Just in the middle of that discussion, just in the middle of that discussion. Now we're talking about this. You know, these speeches were given last week on Wednesday. First of all, yesterday, in the very same country where this discussion was being held, you have allegations of an armed conflict brewing. Again, they keep going back to, I think I like my job here because, man, public office is a headache. Because they are in the middle of a conversation about how can we solve external problems we don't have control over and reach all the goals that we have set in place, including Vision 2030, Agenda 2063, and all that you have, you know, we have a lot of continental initiatives that we'd like to implement. And we have a lot of challenges that are coming from outside of Africa we don't have control over. And so let's just work together, please. So that we can just, so that we can only deal with, you know, with external challenges. Except in the middle of that very discussion about coming together and avoiding internal challenges because we already have our hands full by trying to solve external challenges, the issues pops up about a possible internal challenge popping up. Imagine yourself being a Namibian ambassador to the African Union, Namibian permanent representative to the African Union. You are sitting in that hall and you are trying to navigate both at home and abroad the challenges coming out of external, you know, external geopolitical and external geoeconomics. And you are still sort of basically recovering from, what's this, should I call it, both your economies, or you know, both on a continental and an individual member states level, were still recovering from not just colonialism, but also COVID-19 and, let's face it, corruption. And you all have, you have all these challenges to deal with. But in the middle of that conversation, you are just begging all, now the permanent representatives, are made up of basically representatives from all 54 African states, minus a few that are facing suspension, you know, because of being naughty. You know, when you look at it, when you look at politics, it's just a school classroom, but for adults. There are those that are naughty that will now have to face suspension, and those that needs disciplinary hearing. It's just a bunch of kids with beard. And grey hair. Yeah. Now, so the this session of the African Union, this session not the African Union, a PRC, and I keep mixing those two. This session of the PRC. You can tell we are really, 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 really trying. Albeit we are trying with other people's money because we are very terrible at putting together our own money to fund our own initiatives. And then we start wondering why the people that donate the money for us to execute our projects keeps controlling our domestic affairs. It's because they fund it. Basically, it's because they are the money behind. I know, but we are the brains. But yeah, you can have brains without money. You're not going anywhere. So it's now, as long as we just keep borrowing money, or more like begging for money to come and execute our domestic initiatives, the people that we are begging the money from will sooner or later show up and start dictating terms in our own house. And please, let's not complain. No. Now, in his opening, address, His Excellency Mohamed Mahmoud, is basically the same name in different dialects. That's interesting. That's interesting, because I just realized that the Russian and the Ukrainian presidents are basically namesakes. One is Vladimir, one is Volodymyr or something like, but basically same name, different dialects or different languages that are from the same branch of, you know, same branch of languages. So, Mahmoud, Mohammed, same WhatsApp group. But to continue on that, we'll continue on that on the other side of the break. On the African Union, not Russia and Ukraine.
Okay, my turn. Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was...
My man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, my. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Get so much more.
You get so much more with the ShopRite price because we buy in bulk and pass the savings on to you. Save on 2 kg real good chicken, frozen mixed portions, only $99.99. And 2 kg marathon light brown sugar for a low $37.99. Deals valid until 21 June 2026. Get so much more with the ShopRite price.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back, hombres. It's just a minute past the hour of 5.
No, you should have said mood. Mucho amigos, you know, very big friends.
Look, up until, you know.
Any Portuguese person would say, Dwight, what do you say?
Look, until South Africa decided to go full match and match and xenophobia, the only
yeah.
The only Spanish-speaking country on this continent was Equatorial Guinea.
Yeah.
And now the whole
continent
is about to replace pap with tortillas.
Hey man, you know that mealy biscuit, you know, just knows how to eat, you know.
No, the thing is, look, I don't think I can replace pap with anything. I think it's one of those things that was just engraved. It's either that, or I have a genetic predisposition to for pap.
Look, I personally had to move from pap, Helmut, because when I realized after eating it now, you know, you prepare it now, you eat it now, 10 minutes later, you hear the digestive, you know, works and transport division starting to advertise in your belly and to passengers and to your colleagues in the office. And I'm talking about literally 10 minutes afterwards.
Uh-huh.
You even had a full plate. You even finished the pot yourself and you realized this is not going to work. I had to transition from, you know, now I'm full on a bread, you know, an advocate for bread rights and the rights of bread.
You know, if food was to become alive and start invading countries, Germany would be in trouble for, you know, because of bread. I had no idea they had so much different varieties.
Them and
of
the
bread.
French.
Yeah.
Them and the French.
A lot.
At least with the Italians are based upon geographic regions.
Yeah.
If you go north, it's a lot more bread. If you go south, it's a lot more pasta. And then in between, you get the guys that do the pizza thing. And the pizza was technically also like someone's mom's, you know, everybody's mother could make the pizza in the neighborhood in Italy.
Yeah.
You know, your mom makes her version of the pizza for her family. My mom makes her version for the family.
Yeah.
It's just flat dough and you throw whatever you want to. And most of the times, do you know what the Italians do?
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's a vegetarian thing. It's just tomato paste or tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And cheese, and it's like the other bread they have, a focaccia.
Mm.
Focaccia is also a flattish bread,
mm-hmm.
but slightly thicker. I think you've seen focaccias like in the retailers before.
Yeah.
And a focaccia basically is also just a vegetarian go-between thing. You know, it's dough with some diced onions and tomato and cheese, and then there you go. But it's that lovely dough, that nice dough. Not the regular bread dough.
Nah, that's not going to cut it.
They're just like, you know, just regular bread.
Just throw cheese in there and...
I like a focaccia. It's nice. But anyway.
Yeah.
We must all talk about...
Right now, you know, I'm broke, but I'm already making pizza plans.
The same here. Yeah. Thinking about focaccias for some reason. But yeah. So yeah, when where you left off, Albert, obviously, before I came back in, was a discussion of... There's a lot more things happening.
Yeah. Now, what I was pointing out basically in the beginning was the 52nd session of the Permanent Representative Committee. That's the administrative branch of the African Union that basically has been in session and still in session. Last time I checked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there, one of the things that was emphasized by two, chairpersons, both the chairperson of the African Union, Union Commission, and the chairperson of the PRC, is we have a lot to deal with as a continent right now, especially from a lot of, external problems we don't have much control over, like the conflict in the Middle East and the ipso facto the Strait of Hormuz also coming into discussion. Now, we have a lot of external issues to deal with as we navigate this world of geopolitical mess.
Yeah.
So we can't really afford to create issues here at home that we'll also have to deal with. And this speeches, mind you, were given last week on Wednesday.
Mm.
This is Wednesday last week. Now, fast forward to today's Friday, to yesterday. the head of the Ethiopian intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one minister of...
I thought you were going to go with block equals unblock.
That block is equals unblock is the external issue that we have to deal with.
Internally.
We don't want to create internal issues so that we can just focus on the internal issues we already have to deal with.
Yeah.
And then the external issues that just keeps popping up. Now, yesterday, in an editorial for Al Jazeera, Ethiopia's intelligence chief Redwan Hussein and African Affairs Minister Getachew Reda warned of a possible preparation for the Tigray People's Liberation Front to trigger a new conflict with the help of neighboring Eritrea. Now, these are just suspicions. I like to point that out. At least that's what I'm looking at it. These are just suspicions. But the thing is, what I find fascinating is that the PRC is in session. The 52nd ordinary session of the PRC is in session. And they are calling for less. How can we navigate all these challenges? How can we solve the problems that we already have? And especially when problems keep piling up from external geopolitical and economic sphere, we don't have much control over.
Mm.
So the best way to, just to focus on the problems that we have our hands full with right now, let's make sure that we just come together and be very, be adults at solving problems to make sure that we don't create much more chaos internally so that we have a lot of problems to deal with because we already have enough right now.
Yeah.
So we're talking about let's not escalate things internally because we have our hands full because of external issues. And then that pops up. I'm like, that better be false because if it's true and it turns out, knock on wood, to become a reality, then this event is being held in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And the armed conflict that is supposedly brewing is happening in Ethiopia.
Here's the worst part. Ethiopia has an on and off relationship with Eritrea.
Yeah.
And Eritrea's guy has also been a long standing military leader of Eritrea, the leader there. But apparently his goal was to make sure that his ultimate goal is like that other countries don't interfere in Eritrea's internal affairs.
Yeah.
But when that war between Eritrea and Ethiopia also happened, when they literally split from each other.
Yeah.
It was also a discussion literally of the scenario of with like Tigray, the province of Tigray in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Because when people go read up about, you know, why Eritrea and Ethiopia have this bad blood with each other,
yeah,
it's once again based on a racial thing. I won't say it's a tribal thing, because sometimes the word tribal sort of like, it trivializes the, you know, if there's death, warfare, destruction,
yeah,
things like that, Helmut, involved, and people come and use the label tribalism with you. I mean, how can you call something like what happened with Rwanda a tribalist, tribalism, basically? Then you can just as easily call what happened with Yugoslavia,
mm-hmm,
with that breakup and those, that Balkan war, mm-hmm, also a similar thing of tribalism.
Tribal.
But you'll very easily see that people, don't apply the same terminology, like, if I can use a, you know, equally, the term equally, in terms of the very same factors, the same political involvement, the same breakdown in communication. Because when you go and look at the realm of international relations, and we've seen this with history, specifically with the failed Austrian painter.
Mm-hmm.
The moment when he did it twice with the British and the French,
mm-hmm,
when the first one was most, he took the Rhineland back. He's the Wehrmacht, the German Wehrmacht,
mm-hmm,
advanced into the Rhineland. The Rhineland is that area on the border of France and Germany. And because of the reparations of the First World War, the French were occupying the Rhineland area. Now, I ask you, Hamid, what kind of reparations works like this, where you tell me to pay back damages, but you own the thing that I have to get the money from to pay you the damages that you are claiming from me? Firstly, wonderful, wonderful idea by the French and the British.
Yeah.
Don't worry, wonderful idea. So that was the first thing that he did. He technically advanced the German army into the Rhineland.
Yeah.
The French army basically withdrew out of the Rhineland into eastern France.
Mm-hmm.
Scenarios like that, yeah, sure, it's German land, it's German territory that the French will occupy. So you would have a basis. But then he did it with Czechoslovakia. Then he did it with Austria. Then he did it with
Poland.
No, Poland was the agreement with Stalin. There was another country. What was the other country? There was another country that just went in. I think it was Hungary as well. He would tell the at that stage it was Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of the UK before it became Churchill, and the French guy. He would tell them, "Nah, it's fine. Don't worry. I won't invade. I won't cause damage." And then just tomorrow, they see people advance. They see the German army advancing into these countries. Now, this is the same scenario we've seen post 1950, mm-hmm, since 1950 coming this way, when countries don't talk anymore to each other. When you see that breakdown of communication, Helmut. Now, the Second World War, that a manifestation of the breakdown in communication was a lot more obvious than today.
Mm-hmm.
Today, like yesterday, the block, comma equaled an unblock, was, yeah, I will bomb them to smithereens. And then later, just before the World Cup starts, literally at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock yesterday, Trump goes and says, "We've reached a concrete deal with the Iranians." Just for the Iranians to respond back, "We've reached nothing with this guy. We didn't say yes to anything." So, when the ordinary person out there is to go and ask a question in terms of why is the fuel price going to increase possibly at the end of this month again,
mm-hmm,
don't worry, guys. It will increase at the end of this month again, because you just have to look at the template of what has been happening since 3 January.
Yeah.
The same particular Namibian will turn to the Namibian government asking the question of, "What are you doing?" Now, this sideshow of what is happening here with Vitol and Nasan Khutarset, don't worry about that part, guys. That's internal thing is Khutarset. Just don't worry. There's one thing that those guys have to try and beat is who is buying the fuel,
mm-hmm,
from the Middle East. That is the one thing the Namibian government is worried about. And at what price is that thing going to come here? Now, that's a Namibian internal issue, now, Hamut. Now, an external issue to Namibia, like you highlighted right now,
yeah,
would be, would that thing that you just mentioned now of Ethiopia, would something like that now completely derail the overall African unity project? Because at the heart of AU's goal, mm-hmm, is African unity. African unity has to manifest in that discussion we had the other day of African
integration
yeah. economically, people, and all that.
Yeah.
And then it has to take other formats in terms of Africans are flying to each other to support each other's tourism markets and transportation infrastructure and so on and so forth. But that thing you just mentioned now, the country that has the hub of the headquarters of AU potentially once again falling into a conflict scenario. Now, I, as an average Namibian, will ask the question, now why must my president fly there every year if even Ethiopia can't stay peaceful with itself? And here's the thing, Hamoud, wherever you read that as well, also remember there might be an opposite piece of propaganda to yeah. that statement.
Yeah.
That specific news item. There might be, because I found this, specifically yeah. like in DRC. And even when Deutsche Welle was interviewing that guy that was sitting in Paris, that DRC journalist, a French-speaking DRC journalist sitting in Paris, who is asked, please, can you tell us what is the situation in your home country? And he is literally saying, it's all M23's fault, it's all Kagame's fault. And you're like, oh, okay.
The reason why I'm looking at this is what it basically is, allegations. The first thing you have to understand is these two don't have, like you pointed out, these two have bad bloods with each other.
Yeah.
Now, the head of intelligence here is representing the federal government, obviously.
Mm.
And now this whole call them accusations, at this point, are being thrown in the face of the Tigray Liberation People's Liberation Movement.
Yeah.
And I managed to trace this back to last year. What happened was in October of last year, Ethiopia accused Eritrea of attempting to destabilize the country with financing armed groups, particularly in the Amhara region. This Amhara region is one of those regions where about 30 constituencies, which I had no idea there are that many. This just in one.
In one region,
they have 30 constituencies that did not participate in the recently held general elections because the region has been deemed a their unfavorable conditions. They didn't explain what that means. But you can basically...
Amhara is the region bordering right onto the Tigray region.
It's in the northern part of the...
They're literally next to each other.
Yeah.
So, and Amhara was the other region, Hamoud, that saw the... I can't use the word refugee because if you're in your own country, you can't be a refugee in your own country.
Nah.
So many of the people that were running away from the fighting in the province of Tigray were running into Amhara.
Yeah.
And Amhara borders onto, Tigray borders onto Eritrea one side, but Amhara borders onto the Sudanese border.
Yeah.
And the Sudanese army was lining up on the border with that province.
Mm-hmm.
And there were reports coming out that, people, because the fighting went from Tigray into Amhara, because the Tigrayan rebel guys were trying to march all the way to Ethiopia. Not to Ethiopia, to Addis. I just remembered they are in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
So they were trying to march literally to that capital, Addis, to go and take the capital itself and to try and depose of Abiy Ahmed.
Because that's the seat of the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had to stop them, like, there's the province that Addis Ababa is based in, just outside that provincial border. The Ethiopian army stopped that advance of the Tigrayan military forces. They also can't be called military forces because technically the national army of a country is the official only national army. You can't have Sudan.
Yeah. Now, the reason why I'm pointing that part out was that in October last year, Ethiopia accuses Eritrea of basically arming the armed guy, a bunch of armed guys in the Amhara region to destabilize Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Those accusations were denied by Eritrea. Now, this is where you start asking a lot of questions about, who am I going to believe here?
Yeah.
Now, now, No, that's something that basically the Eritrean government denied it, and they called it a sham. And in January of this year, the federal government of Ethiopia again now accused the Tigrayan People's Liberation guys for growing closer to Eritrea. Mm. Now the TPLF also denied all those allegations.
Mm.
Now you have a lot of bad blood conversation going on here. You have basically accusations at this point because this is one of those things that is it's kind of difficult to, you know, it is as difficult to believe as it is to prove. Yeah, because you have to understand that the whole thing about the TPLF planning an armed conflict, was basically like partially resolved, at least military action wise back in 2022. Mm. And that was thanks to Pretoria. That's why they call it the Pretoria Agreement. This information that's coming from Eritrea, that's coming from Ethiopia, being fired at Eritrea and the TPLF. The Eritrean government is denying the allegations of basically arming the TPLF,
mm.
and the TPLF is denying getting closer to Eritrea.
Mm.
Now, at this point, you're like, okay, who am I going to believe here? Now, the TPLF said something, called the federal government's accusations of them getting closer to Ethiopia. They didn't just call it a sham like the Eritrean government called the accusations fired at them by the Ethiopian government.
Yeah.
They said something interesting that that's just what Ethiopia wants so that they can justify going to war with us. That's where you are now, even in the middle of this whole thing. I'm like, okay, which one of you is actually telling the truth? And one fascinating thing about the Pretoria Agreement that was in November 2022 was the TPLF representatives were at the negotiating table, which got me laughing because I kept thinking about the M23 and being absent at the negotiating table in Qatar and Washington.
But it's two ministers sitting there, two government ministers, and we were like, we thought this was rebels. So why are two ministers sitting here?
I read through the Pretoria Agreement. I was like, hey, look, TPLF representative is right here.
Well, at least with the Ethiopians, they were doing things proper, you know.
Had everyone represented.
Yeah, people could put a face to people.
You know who was not there?
Yeah.
Eritrea was not there. I was like,
So Ethiopia signing a peace agreement with itself?
With Ethiopia. Now, I was like, look, I find this very fascinating. That's why, I went that direction after I looked at the accusations thrown by the Ethiopian government at Eritrea back in October last year.
Yeah.
And Ethiopia was like, no, Eritrea basically called it a sham and basically said we are nowhere near or nowhere close we don't have any relationship with the TPLF.
Mm.
Yeah. And when the Ethiopian government said the TPLF is growing closer to Eritrea,
mm.
the TPLF also denied having a relationship with Eritrea. In other words, last year Eritrea denied a relationship with the TPLF. This year the TPLF denied a relationship with Eritrea, which is why I find it, it wasn't shocking for. I actually find it to line up
mm.
with the Pretoria Agreement signed back in 2022. But what I couldn't help was comparing it side by side. With the Rwanda DRC deal that was reached, but the problems that brought about the deal was being caused by none of the parties that were at the table negotiating the deal.
Yeah,
the guys
signing the deal.
The guys that caused the problems were in the middle of the Amazon, the middle of the of the DRC jungle
of the Congo.
Yeah, but. Now, I'm looking at what is the relationship between these two?
You went Amazon even?
I went full Amazon.
But now, that's true.
Yeah, look, I'm just saying the meth is not methy.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, right now, first of all, that's just coming from the Ethiopian government, and it's going to take a little bit of proof to basically for us to know who we are going to believe in this case, whether we're going to believe the federal government of Ethiopia,
yeah,
or we're going to believe, Eritrea, that they don't have any relationship with the TPLF, or we're going to believe the TPLF that the federal government cooking up stuff so that they can use that as a justification for basically for going to war with with the TPLF. It's a whole mess right now, at least discussion wise.
Yeah.
And that whole mess can basically can quickly turn into an armed conflict in the middle of which will be a problem added to the problems that the African Union is trying to solve.
Mm.
And you start solving a problem by trying to understand what it is. So logistic wise, administrative wise, and that for the African Union, the PRC is in charge of the day-to-day administrative activities running of the African Union, which is why their chairperson was just calling for, can we just get along so that we can just focus on the problems outside? But let's not pile things up.
But here's the thing there. Ali Yusuf, if you guys don't know, Mr. Mahmoud Ali Yusuf, he's the chairperson of the AU Commission. So he's the guy basically that has to report to the AU president, which is a rotational seat. I don't know for how long, but currently it's still Angola's president, the AU president. Is still Lorenzo.
Yeah.
So Ali Yusuf technically has to deal with this day-to-day running. And Ali Yusuf had to highlight, guys, there's a lot of pressures specifically impacting the African continent.
Yeah.
But like Helmut said, the external things, you know, Africans can't really be in control of it because we don't have the scale of either thinking like a Henry Kissinger to go in and get involved in Asian politics over there or potentially anywhere else.
Did you just compare us with a warmonger?
Well, you know,
we are way more peaceful.
Well, you know, things happen, Helmut. But the scenario that he pictured, obviously, with the one case study that you highlighted, obviously about Ethiopia itself, where the headquarters of the AU are based in, is also that look at the neighborhood that the country of Ethiopia is also positioned itself in. Now, Egypt, which is so far in terms of what I've realized, is Egypt is literally trying to be a little bit more stable in that neighborhood just there where the Gulf of Aden is.
Mm-hmm.
That neighborhood of the Suez Canal. Because it's most Egypt, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Sudan, and you've got Somali here, Somaliland and Somalia here to the literally eastwards on the little horn of the African continent.
Yeah.
Now, that particular neighborhood minus Kenya. Okay, let's put Kenya in there as well, because Kenya is also directly impacted in that eastern/northeastern regional economy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that those countries alone, Helmut, have the potential of being beacons of African integration. And I'm talking about they literally can beat even SADC on an integration level discussion. But because they've known each other since the time of the Bible, even before the Bible, this means from the time of Alexander the Great even,
mm-hmm,
that neighborhood of Africans have been interconnected with each other.
Yeah.
They've known each other. Yes, they've got shared histories with each other as well. And the history and the civilizations that have come through from there. I mean, I remember the one story, specifically about the one, there was a guy from Ethiopia mentioned in the Bible, an emissary.
There was an Ethiopian eunuch.
Yeah, that guy.
And eunuch is a way of saying that. Good luck having kids.
It's a eunuch.
Is it what? Eunuch?
Eunuch. Not a eunuch. Eunuch.
Really?
Yeah.
Look, for me, the eunuchs and the castratos in Italy were both fed the same lie. Let's just...
Now you guys know what happened to the guy. But anyway, that there's an uglier side also to the Atlantic slave trade, what they also did to a lot of men.
Look, the transatlantic slave trade, those guys were forced.
I know. They were snippety snipped when they didn't ask to be snipped.
The eunuchs.
But these guys were, in some way, were also told, hey, listen, you know, you're not the best kind of looking guy. So, how about it? We don't want you, sowing any seeds.
That's how World War III is gonna start.
It was, how about it?
Yeah.
So that neighborhood alone, Nehamud, I mean, it has been recorded in even the Christian history itself. Now,
actually, the history of Christianity entrance into the African continent takes you back to that very region, especially Ethiopia.
Yeah. So in that scenario, even Africans on the continent have to start asking questions. Even those Africans that are super religious and going to church every Sunday, you have to ask yourself the particular question: why is this neighborhood of Africa so technically close to being ungovernable and not being peaceful enough? Another scenario, because I can't wade into, you know, close to 7,000 years of history, guys. But another scenario that you can also potentially look at has been the proximity of someone like Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and the other Arabic kingdoms who are in the, you know, the petrodollar neighborhood of things.
Yeah.
It's because primarily these two neighborhoods of the Middle East and of that Northeast African Horn neighborhood of African countries, they trade a lot with each other. They trade a lot with each other.
Yeah.
Sudan, we found out because of the Sudanese civil war, the RSF is busy siphoning off gold.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager. Now we are talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. Just after a quick break, that's snuck upon us. We have 30 minutes left to the hour of 6, and the time is flying. But so we continue.
Yeah. So
that neighborhood.
And even that neighborhood. Well, here's also another thing that basically falls somehow into this discussion. Also, what happened to South Africa last night.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw last night that the South African captain, Ronwen Williams, complained about why Africa was not behind South Africa against Mexico. Well, the unfortunate thing is, you know, like Helmut said now, just in the ad break, during the ad break, off air, you know, if the goal was to divide Africa from South Africa.
Oh, it's working.
Last night worked.
It definitely worked.
Last night literally worked. So, even then, the South Africans also need to get the memo. We are all on the same continent. We all need to have the same goal in mind, and we all need to work towards some of these particular goals.
Yeah.
You don't hear, Hamut, what is a Kavango, what is a Thimbukushu word for, you know, whatever Dudula means, Operation Dudula means, you know, but something that's sort of like, you know, tries to make, you know, for foreigners feel unwelcome. Or just the word unwelcome in Thimbukushu. What is a similar word, Hamut?
Unwelcome. We don't have a single word for it. We have a whole sentence.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hamut, sometimes you show up here with the lemon juice and you just douse the planned joke I had in mind. And then I see how my joke just crumbles because when you say there is no such word.
We have Namtambra, that means you are welcome.
Mm.
But the opposite of that will be a whole sentence.
Okay. So imagine there was an operation, the whole sentence in Thimbukushu.
Yeah.
First things Namibians will be asking is, who has time for this thing?
No one. I know I don't.
Because for some reason, the South Africans have a lot of time to be protesting about foreigners in their country. And it's not even as if these foreigners are like the major social ills in the communities.
Yeah. I mean, their president pointed it out that, we have problems, but immigrants are not the, you know, we are nowhere near solving this problem. because immigrants are not the, I mean, they're not the major cause of these problems. If you look at it, you can just point at two things that happened in South Africa, in the economic sphere of South Africa, that will make every South African just reconsider the whole anti-immigration movement, you know, especially in relation to the economic ills of South Africa.
Mm.
The rent manipulation was dominated by a bunch of foreigners coming out of developed countries. None of them were black. And you have, you know, now that is just an external issue that was caused, that has shaken South Africa's economy, in which no Ghanaian, Namibian or Nigerian immigrant participated in the rent manipulation. It's just a bunch of financial institutions coming out of the Western world causing all that chaos. And you have, that's a whole case on its own.
Mm.
Now, if you look at the Makatla Commission, it's Madlanga Commission,
mm.
that's a domestic issue that involves a lot of high-profile South African officials,
mm.
not much, if any, immigrant.
Which is currently ongoing.
It's still ongoing. And now, you have a bunch of officials that stole 2-point-something billion from one hospital, and you think your broke neighbor with a home shop is the problem.
Who is Zimbabwean, or
who is just as broke as you are, by the way.
Or who is Ghanaian, or who is... So, I mean, these are some of the questions, Ned, that the South Africans obviously don't want to...
We don't want to talk about those.
Well, I don't know about us Namibians, but we sometimes, us Namibians, we are very vocal. We sometimes do just talk. But for the South Africans, they don't even understand the scale of the accusation that they sometimes make. I read up just now about Dudula's, when Dudula started, yeah. way back. Dudula started just after that 2021 riots that happened in South Africa.
Yeah.
Dudula's aim, guess what is the description that they give you in the Wikipedia entry? Dudula's aim was to campaign its campaign was aimed at addressing crime, a lack of jobs, and poor health services. But guess who they made the scapegoat?
What's that?
Influx of illegal immigrants.
That's why they have health issues?
That's why you have lack of jobs? If the immigrant can't show up at the job, if the immigrant cannot compete at the same job thing as you, I mean, Hamut, Ramaphosa even mentioning a bunch of restaurants supposedly there in South Africa employing immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
But a restaurant, you and I know, and many Namibians who've worked in restaurants, I have not worked in a restaurant, but I've spoken and I've known people who've worked in restaurants as waiters, bartenders, as even as the chefs.
Mm.
It's based on the commissions that the people make per how many tables you serve. You don't ask for a CV. The restaurant manager doesn't care about your CV. He just wants to know, he or she, they just want to know, can you take orders? Can you write down the right order? And can you serve people? And do you have a customer service personality to you as someone waiting?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where in what world, Helmut, would you send your child to the University of Waiting and Chefing to learn how to be a chef and to wait? In what world do you want to formalize waiting? Look, the only thing a government can do when they formalize something there is they bring in a minimum wage.
Yeah.
That's all that can happen, because obviously a government has to take into consideration the economic factors that are directly impacting the cost of living in its territory, which is its jurisdiction. But you want to come and say the reason why you want to say that there's only one restaurant in your immediate geographical vicinity that you can be a waiter at, or
yeah.
There's only one major retailer for you to work as a packer or as a cashier at. I don't believe this particular discussion, Howard, because one of the things that South Africa sometimes is not honest about specifically, is that they don't always, look at their relationship with the other African countries. Case in point, obviously, Ronwen Tears' crocodile tears of last night. Ronwen Williams's crocodile tears of last night. Specifically with, I mean, guys, I'm sorry, to all South Africans. Look, I wanted you guys to win. Bafana is the only South African national team that I will technically support. I wanted you guys to win, but when I saw how that first goal came in, I was like, you know what? It's Mexico's game. It's klar. You know, I mean, really. South Africa. But anyway, so that's a sports issue, which I obviously extrapolated from a negative socioeconomic issue that the South Africans were causing to other Africans in South Africa. And then when you look at the discussion of continental integration, the South Africans are not making a good case also.
No.
On behalf of SADC and for themselves on the continent, in the rest of the continent.
Look, the math I'm trying to do when it comes to this whole anti-immigration movement is, take Kate Matola, for example.
Yeah.
Those three blue Italian toys. That
they're actually German, Helmut. They're owned by Audi.
I know that, but
they've got Audi engines in them, Helmut. Technically, they divorced the IP.
I only found that out from Jeremy Clarkson when he was reviewing. I think it was a Sesto Elemento. Where he said that you know what, the Germans put in this put in the engine and gearbox, and then they gave the Italians to basically go nuts with the exterior. And it's like, oh, really?
Mm.
Yeah. Now, it's
not the same that you can say for Saab that died an unnatural death because of General Motors and Chevrolet. What the Americans was did, what they would do if they buy up these brands, is that they keep the shell the same,
mm-hmm.
and then every time it's a different engine.
That's a lot of work.
No, it's not a lot of work. It's how they standardize the offering of the same fuel type, the same engine type, it's in many cases how you would see it's that you could see it wasn't the engineer in charge of designing the car, it was more the accountant from the finance department telling the engineer, why don't we just make things cheaper and then we put the same engine across the various brands that we own. For example, let me give you the example. So you've got that TSI engine in the VW cluster of cars,
mm-hmm.
but Porsche doesn't have a TSI engine. Porsche makes its own engines.
Mm-hmm.
Porsche, in many cases, is rear-wheel drive. It's not front-wheel drive. Much of VW's cars are technically front-wheel drive cars. And then they've got their own technology around their four-wheel drive. But mm-hmm. then Audi has its own four-wheel drive technology, the Quattro technology, mm-hmm. which is IP protected. And no one can get Quattro. I'll tell you again. No one, Helmut, can get Quattro. You've never seen Quattro anywhere else since the 1980s.
This is basically a fancy way of saying four.
Yeah, but it's their four-wheel drive. But then the Japanese obviously went and became fancy, and the Japanese went with all-wheel drive. Instead of saying four-wheel drive, the Japanese came out with all-wheel drive.
How many wheels do you have? Four. Just say four-wheel.
But why does all-wheel drive sound literally similar to Quattro?
Because it is similar.
Basically. So the Japanese literally duplicated a system, but they made it their system. But the digression is taking place. So what happens in that stable of VW? Porsche has a completely different offering.
Yeah.
But what you see between the stable where VW and Audi meet is that you see similarities in body design and you see similarities sometimes in engine design.
Yeah.
So the Audis now have that TFSI engine as well.
Yeah.
And the VWs have had that TFSI engine. If you see the VW Touareg with a V6 engine turbo diesel, then the Audi Q range has a V6 turbo diesel engine. When they've got that four motion thing, the four motions is just VW's fancy way of saying it's also a four wheel drive function, four motion, four wheel.
The psychology is deep.
But then Audi already sits with Quattro. So VW had to come up with their own thing with just naming different from not sounding like that. They probably borrowed some technology from Audi.
They could have just gone with the Quattro, but in German. Okay, that would have been like a paragraph.
Vierwheel. Have you heard the word for ambulance in German? In Afrikaans, ne? It's ambulance, ne?
Oh.
In German, it's Krankenwagen.
Why does it have to crank?
No, the crank is the pain.
Oh.
So
So it's a pain wagon.
Look, in Afrikaans, there's also a word. If someone is annoying you, then you say, ek het 'n krank. And everybody knows, oh, it's someone annoying you. Everyone immediately. Yeah. You only use the word krank for someone, not for something.
Oh.
Or they would tell you, ek het 'n krank pain. But then a krank pain technically means it's something internal, something, you know, like a severe pain.
Mm.
Because it's probably like those, what do you call those things like some headaches that come and go and come.
Migraine.
But a migraine is more acute. It's more of those pains that just come and go, come and go, come and go. And when you hear a discussion of annoyance, then the person says, ek het 'n krank. Then you know, okay. So it's not about cranking something. It's literally, it's a pain.
I have a friend who, you know, I have a friend who speaks German. One thing I've come to learn is that, Germans don't name things. They describe them in their names.
Same thing also in Afrikaans.
Hence, I never really understood why the names are really long until I just, started, you know, basically being close to people that speak German. And I came to realize, because when they say something and the name is that long, I'm like, what does that mean? When they translate it to English, you realize that that is not a name. It's a description of what that thing does.
Mm.
Which is, it's a very good way of naming things, but it's long.
And it's actually not Afrikaans. It's just German.
Yeah,
now that I think about it.
Yeah, and I think English was somewhat the same way, but with time, a lot of things got refined. Take the word chair, for example, has the same etymology with the word cathedral, which takes you back to the Latin word for basically seat.
Mm.
Yeah. Commercial break.
Join us for the Ehangano Concert Volume 2 with Ali Tobias. Experience an unforgettable evening featuring songs from her latest album, A Bilo, performed live with the full band. Special guest appearances by Tate Buti, DA, Paige, and One Accord. All proceeds from the event will go towards supporting the Our Lady Orphanage. The event takes place on 4 July 2026 at the National Theatre of Namibia. Tickets are available on Web Tickets Namibia for 450 Namibian dollars. Don't miss this powerful night of music, inspiration, and giving back. Ehangano Concert Volume 2. See you there.
Welcome back. Let's come back from that detour and continue with the whole, Africa's sort of like going contrary to what it's preaching. You have a lot of our public officials in our respective countries preaching unity, and you have the same public officials having their respective representatives in the, on the African Union level, preaching unity on the intergovernmental organization level. Now, with my very simple economic math, and I'm not very good at math or economics or finance, one thing I can't wrap my mind around with the whole anti-immigration movement in South Africa is, you have a South African, basically a group of South African citizens that are, that are being accused of, of siphoning, billions using over 200 shell companies to steal money from the general public. And the main institution that came out, especially Matlanka Commission, is Tembisa Hospital.
Mm.
This is a health service provision institution.
Aimed at improving?
The health service in the country.
Exactly.
Immigrants, if you ask me, the reason why there is most likely, infrastructure problems and just staffing problems at a hospital like that. It's not immigrants' problem. You have a bunch of officials that stole the money that should have furnished that hospital to a state of the heart. State of the heart.
What has been with our English today?
State of the heart. State of the art.
Marching to Ethiopia, but you're in Ethiopia.
You're marching to Ethiopia.
But they're in Ethiopia.
Yeah, already in Ethiopia. They're marching to Addis Ababa.
Yeah, guys, it's not that kind of a Friday. Just letting you know.
I think that's because Mother End is far. At least that's for me. But now that's why, you know, that's why I'm trying to do the math here. South African high profile individuals from the police, government, and all levels of the South Africa's public, you know, public sphere, high level South Africa's public sphere, are being, you know, are being investigated and being interviewed on a daily basis for stealing billions of dollars from one hospital. And you think the reason why that hospital has terrible health service provision is because of the immigrants that have nothing to do with the event that's being, I mean, with the investigations that are being conducted in relation to the money in that hospital missing. Mm. The meth is not mething, is what I'm saying.
Mm. No, it's.
It's like me blame, you know, it's like me blaming, you know, my Zimbabwean neighbor for fish rot.
But not putting the blame at the actual identified suspects.
Yeah, they'd be
people,
like,
and people who were implicated specifically in the thing, specifically like you started with the Matlanga Commission and obviously also with the example of Fisher. It is more like a misdirection.
Yeah, it's a misdirection, a very big one. And but the thing is, it's a very obvious one, which again brings us to the question of how did you miss it? Is it intentional?
Because here's the thing there. Some of the South African media were still trying to find out does the Operation Dudula still exist? Because it just went quiet between last year and now. And then suddenly this new thing popped up.
They have elections coming up.
Yeah, and then Dudula started featuring, no, we're going to campaign in the elections, in the local authority elections. And now, this other particular, these other protests.
March and March.
Yeah. Starts popping up. Now people have to ask the particular question, what's actually going on here? Okay, we're Namibians. We're asking that question.
Hmm.
What's going on here? Because we can obviously see a time frame.
Yeah.
Because we can see the time frame and things don't make sense. The marching is not matching. Why is the marching not matching? Oh, no one is marching about Cat, what's the guy's name? Cat McClellan.
Yeah, Cat McClellan.
One of the famous drug barons of Johannesburg.
Yeah.
No one is marching against him. Why? Because he's probably somebody's family. Why? Because he was seen in the exact same picture as the police minister, Mkunu. Senzo Mkunu and him were in the exact same picture. Was it him? Was it him or was it the other guy? When they were disputing the photo.
When it comes to South African.
Or the video.
When it comes to South African police, I've lost all hope.
And just last night, one of the commissioners literally tells that one police officer just now, the joke that I told you, where she told him, so why did you have to drive money to these police officers? What job are they doing that you have to drive?
We have banks.
To drive money? No, it's not just that. She asked him, do you work? One of the questions in a way that she asked is, do you work in the police HR?
No.
So why are you driving money?
The first question, why? Who is driving money in the 21st century?
I don't know. Ask the police in South Africa.
Yeah, you know, that happened back here. Was that in the early 20-teens when a bunch of cars full of suitcase were basically found at one of the checkpoints in between Israel and Palestine?
Mm.
Yeah, and the current Israel prime minister was heavily implicated. That is one of the guys with the, you know, I think with the Qataris basically channeling money literally to Hamas.
Mm.
And right now Hamas is also like geopolitics. I mean, it's just dumb.
There is no geopolitics there, Helmut. The moment you can, if the moment you find money, it's not geopolitics anymore. It becomes something else. It becomes a monster of, so.
Right. If I am telling the whole world that you are the bad guy who want to annihilate my family. Why am I giving you money to help you annihilate my family?
That's the thing, Helmut. Then it can't be called geopolitics anymore. And that is the thing that people of the political science realm, one of them is a family member of mine, she might obviously, you know, disagree with this logic I'm going to put forward.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Helmut, and she and I both know, if you can find money, then there's a customer, and something is being done.
There's a client.
There's a client and there's a service being done. Then it's not politics. Then it's not politics. It really can't be called politics.
No.
Because then it technically just means whose group assignment is this?
Yeah, definitely a group assignment. A group assignment.
Because group assignments always look ugly.
Yeah, and
in all honesty, I'm sorry, guys, if you're still on university and you're trying to get through a group assignment, they will always look ugly.
Look, I have tried group assignments. I hate those.
Yeah, same here. But for some reason, the lecturers want us to work in teams.
Look,
I'm not being paid for that function of working. For the function of working that I have to be paid for, I will work in a group.
There's a picture of how I want my work to look like when I'm done. That picture is only in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I'm done, I want to follow it all the way through and to make sure that all the pictures are matching. The thing is, the example that you just gave with your worst group assignment ever, where people were just copying and pasting things that were not referenced and then ended up, being flagged as the AI user of the century.
Yeah.
Now, look, I would be here thinking, okay, I did my part. Why didn't you?
But you also can't take this. There's no sort of like tribune or court or headmaster's.
That's the thing. So
headmaster's office to go lay a complaint about what did this person do?
So now I'm getting a zero because of
it. Do a half baked job, and why am I literally being uniqued for trying to be perfect?
Jesus Christ, dude.
In some cases, it did happen, and it's that particular thing also when people. I'm not talking about the individual. When individuals also realize, you know what? But I literally cannot be judged by the quality of work of other people. If you know what you did, you can claim your responsibility. But that's not how the world works, because the world goes like, okay, Helmut, we saw you today with the other Thimbukushu speaking Kavango guys. So now we think that you are part of XYZ operation something that you said. Unwelcome something. Operation unwelcome there in Kavango East. Aye, Kavango West. No, Kavango East. Ne? Kavango West.
No, it's East.
East. Then you shouldn't forget about Anakleta. She must come into your PR for you.
Akleta is calling you after this.
So, now it becomes a scenario of by association.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: what people in South Africa, specifically in our conversation for today, when we look at internal things of Africa bothering Africa,
yeah,
is when you look at South Africa.
Hands full.
If you look at South Africa, it's two specific large groups of South Africa's ethnicities that are the issue in specifically driving xenophobia in South Africa. It's two groups.
And
the police,
they did that way.
The politicians of South Africa know it. Everyone knows who these groups are. They even know the face of the people. And you just have to interrogate, okay, is this a sort of like based on, I'll mention for what it is, because primarily that is what it is. It's black on black violence.
Yeah.
But why are you not chasing out the white foreigners that probably are also illegal there, or the Asian foreigners? Because there's a lot of Indian, Pakistani, Chinese foreigners who are also illegal in South Africa. What are the motivations for just chasing away just the Africans?
There's one white guy that made a video on that on TikTok, and he made a very interesting point to think about.
Yeah.
That, he's South African. The question asked was, so let me get this straight. Isn't what is being exercised here some form of apartheid?
It is.
And,
it is a form of racism.
You guys have spent decades fighting apartheid. Only
just for
to
you
exercise
to
it yourself.
The exact same thing.
On your own kind.
He can't say on his own, but yeah, you are right, Helmut, but it is his words. But he also can't say that because primarily...
No, that's just my Addition to it, yeah.
Oh, okay. But
now the example that he used was you have been complaining about apartheid.
Mm. Just so for you to come and practice apartheid.
Exactly. So you're telling. So it's only bad when others are exercising it on you, but you don't mind exercising it on others. I don't know about, but personally, I found the comparison on anti-immigration or xenophobia and apartheid a very interesting one.
Mm.
Yeah, because it has to do with labeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thought of one of the labeled individuals not belonging to where they are. You don't belong here because you're from Nigeria. You don't belong here because you're from Ghana. You don't belong here and all that. And now you see that the Ghanaian government started repatriating its own people.
Mm.
And I understand that the Nigerian government has followed suit.
Mm.
Now, considering what happened, last night with the Mexico-South Africa match, that's why I keep saying that if the goal was to divide Africa, it's working.
Yeah, it is working in South Africa, but it's literally dividing South Africa from Africa. That is the concern that unfortunately these actors in March on March and Operation mm-hmm. Dudula, which is basically similar in nature, this is what they're not realizing.
Yeah, I would argue the guys that are basically running the whole event, chance are very high they're aware of what they're doing. I'm more afraid of, of the followers. One of my favorite quotes, about power from, comes from Primo Levi, and he was a Holocaust survivor.
Mm.
One thing that he learned basically after living through one of the worst experiences that anyone can basically live through is that a monster. From that he said monsters exist. Mm. Monsters exist, but they are too few in number to cause any kind of problem.
Mm.
The biggest problem are the functionaries, the followers who will just. Pick up any idea that they are being fed and start following without asking any questions. Those are your biggest problems. And I totally agree with him.
Mm. No, yes, he is right. It's one of... Okay. Primo Levi literally sounds like the person who had the idea of describing this better than when Andrzej Sapkowski, the guy who's the author for the Witcher book series... Because that's just one of the themes that the character Geralt, who's in the games a lot, what Geralt kept saying. It's not animals that are the monsters in many cases that he experiences. Many times it's people that he meets and the stories they tell him. And it's also some of the things specifically that these crime and investigation documentaries that you find on the internet and on your pay-per-view service, if for example, like that, investigator, that detective, Joe Kenda.
Mm-hmm.
What Kenda would always say, every crime that he has had to investigate, it's like he gets shocked in a new level every time with every investigation.
So it keeps getting worse. He keeps getting being shocked about what mankind is capable of doing.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, so in other words, when he investigates a case and thinks this is the worst man can do, the next investigation proves him wrong.
But before we continue, we'll quickly take a short break, dear listeners. We come back right after this. This is the Velvice University NQA approval for expansion of scope notice. Now, the NQA approval for expansion of scope is that Velvice University is pleased to inform all stakeholders that the Namibia Qualifications NQA Council has approved our application for expansion of scope. This approval grants accreditation for the following NQF registered qualifications. Offered through full-time blended learning mode at our university. These include the Bachelor of Laws Honours, the Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours, the Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours, the Bachelor of Social Work Honours, and the Diploma in Legal Studies Level 6. The Virtual University, where everyone is an achiever.
The African Union is trying to bring people together. And in the very same, you know, in the very same time period that they chose to have the conversation about, you know what, you have a lot of chaos going on, that we have a lot of problems that we need to solve coming from external, external factors we don't have control over. So let's just not cause any more problems. Mm. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
Big misstatement.
Big statements, you
or
know.
Understatement, should I say.
Yeah. Now you have a lot of, armed conflict allegations popping up in the very, you know, country that hosts the seat of the African Union, and then all of a sudden the entire Africa joins Equatorial Guinea into the whole Spanish.
Oh, becoming Spanish.
Yeah, into going full Spanish. And social media is going wild with that.
Well, that's South Africa's own issue. I mean, Ronwyn Williams can't come and cry about why no one was... Look, I was there. I was there with him up until minute 9, and then I saw that the manner in which the goal was conceded. Then I knew, nah, guys, I can't help you.
You know, thanks to AI, someone just decided to take Mexico on the African continent, remove South Africa, and add Mexico to the south.
Oh my goodness!
And now the map looks very funny. You know, Mexico's map looks like a gatel. That gatel is going all the way. That gatel is about to reach Madagascar.
So they somehow superimposed Mexico at the bottom.
They just removed South Africa and add Mexico. And, okay. The African Union wants us to unite, and we are going, nah.
Yeah, and David is here busy evicting us, also showing the ununiformity, but yeah.
But
on that note, guys, let's see each other again on Sunday. Alternatively, it's Monday, once again here on The Home Run.
Absolutely. We have to leave because, David is conducting his own match here.